Engel, Oladamare, Jenyami, Olarun, God, Jehovah, Allah, Amun-Ra, the many names for the original ancestor, the ancestor who sees all and knows all, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We do not pour libation to you, but this morning we come pouring libation in memory and honor of our ancestors and asking them to intercede with you on our behalf. We know that our ancestors, being in the spirit world, are closer to you, and there's a greater opportunity that our requests will be granted. We ask this morning that you grant the listeners the willingness to open their hearts and their minds to the information that's going to be shared, such that they will hear the truth and then be able to act on the truth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors from Mother Africa, the ancestors who were the beginning of the human family that we now have, no matter what your ethnic or cultural background is, the beginning of human life as we know it was on the African continent. Every person on the face of the earth has as their original ancestor an African. We ask those Africans who were the first to conceive of a family, the first to plant a seed, the first to till the land, the first to domesticate animals, the first to navigate the mighty Nile River to Egypt, the first to build a skyscraper, the first to do surgeries, the first to explore the wonders of the galaxy, and as importantly, the first to conceive of the belief in one God. We ask those ancestors to come and be with us today to bring their wisdom, their hard work, their ingenuity to all that we do. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors who were murdered, displaced, diminished during our great Holocaust, our great Miafa, we do not forget you. We remember your unwilling sacrifice as your bodies are lined the Sahara and the Atlantic Ocean. We remember you and we honor you and we ask that you come and be with us today. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. We ask our ancestors who gave us the great document, the Ma'at, to come be with us, bring your additional sense of honor and integrity as embodied by Ma'at to our discussions and our listenings this morning. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To those ancestors from the Caribbean islands, from Brazil, from the southern parts of these United States, who through your unpaid labor laid the groundwork for the civilizations that are enjoyed by billions of people around the world. To those ancestors, we say we do not forget you. We remember your sacrifice, your hard work. And we ask that you come and be with us today to inspire us to also do the work required to correct a world that has gone mad. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And to those ancestors who are yet to be born, those ancestors for whom we do good work, those ancestors to whom we pledge to honorably do righteous work all the time for ourselves, for our families, for our communities, so we can be correct to be able to benefit from the largesse that the Creator has provided for all of us. Ancestors, we pledge ourselves to continue to do work such that when you return, this place will be a better earth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And finally, we'd like to ask you and our audience to think of one of your ancestors, someone who you would like to be with us this morning. On the count of three, ask that ancestor to come and be with us. One, two, three. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We said libation, libation, libation. It is good.
That people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Hey man, I like the death for the song, you know what I'm saying? Not the death for the song, but the depth of the song. You feel me? The complexity. Shit, I like the topic. No. Kodak Black, man.
My word is bond as fuck. My life is hard enough. They not rewarding us. They disregarding us. And if I go to DC, I'm trying to spar with Trump. I'm not a politician. Just can't ignore the stuff. This really just a free verse. I put my life in reverse. I dug up all my old pain and put it on a t-shirt. So many sides of this shit. Not here for popular shit. Your own people will laugh when you want positive shit. Before I die, I'ma teach. I light a blunt and I preach. Ain't no facade you can see. That I can only be me. I got a daughter to raise. One day she gon' be a queen. I'm tryna get shit together so she can have anything. My word is bond as fuck. My life is hard enough. They ain't rewarding us. They disregarding us. And if I go to DC, I'm tryna spar with Trump. I ain't a politician. Just can't ignore the stuff.
I take this life at come. Got high but still won't show love. If I tell people where I'm from, they might think I got a gun. Got J's is still in the box. No tax on Benz on my ones. I took my feelings out the shit and put my trust in my funds. Let my dead homie on my sleeve. Don't need glasses, see what I see. Told me at
Netflix, CID. Might do the race, but then catch me. Damn, if it be another RIP, it's a black, white word, but I only see green. Killers getting off innocent with a clip showing that he did the shit. Trying talking, they ain't listening, but they'll point it out when you get ignorant. Fuck with you if you a benefit. That's why I pay him cash at the dealership. And I got money stashed for the business shit, but I'ma write it off, good penmanship. Can't say we representing with half the office white supremacists. This can't be land of the free if kneeling might cost your position. I'm supposed to respect the system and call our brothers, sons, and bitches. And when my uncle came home from prison for the same shit, y'all trying to turn to a business. Man, take our culture, our blueprint, pay the knockoff to come out of us. Hurricanes come and swallow us. Op niggas trying to put the dot on us. We pouring Henny cause we all bottled up. Granny still scratch a lot of stuff, but the Bible says gon' full circle. I'm just trying to find me a good purpose. My word bond is fuck. My life is hard enough. They not rewarding us. They disregarding us. And if I go to D.C., I'm trying to spar with Trump. I'm not a politician. You can't ignore this stuff.
Enough to hit the cup and fill my cup with rum. But I can go die in the army going to war for them. Ain't old enough for marijuana, cigar to spark my blunt. But old enough to spend my life behind bars that's dumb. Toting magazines that got me in an article. And I'm in Washington, D.C., I'm doing fraud and stuff. Ain't worrying about Donald Trump, ain't worrying about seeing no monuments. These people got weather control, where the hell you think Hurricane Harvey from? The wind ain't got no name, where the hell you think Hurricane Harvey from? These people control the rain, these people be digging bunkers up. But they only got 2 more years of slavery to do harm to us. I feel like Kunta Kinte, nigga, I'm the one who fought for us. I was in the club, it's just great fighting the adults and stuff. Feel like Kunta Kinte, nigga, I'm the one who fought for us. Ever since the 6th grade, nigga, I was the one who fought for us. Ever since the 10th grade, nigga, I was the one who fought for us. So I feel like Kunta Kinte, nigga, I'm the one who fought for us. Yeah, I fought for us. You gotta die for us. You gotta risk my life for us. I risk my life for us, nigga, and I die for us, nigga.
Dear white America, I've left Earth in search of darker planets, a solar system that revolves too near a black hole. I left a patch of dirt in my place, and many of you won't know the difference. Give it my name if it makes you feel better while you run your hands through its soiled scalp. I've left in search of a new God. I do not trust the God you have given us. My grandmother's hallelujah is only outdone by the fear she nurses each time the blood fat summer swallows another child who used to sing in the choir. Take your God back. Though his songs are beautiful, his miracles are inconsistent. I want the fate of Lazarus for Anisha. I want Chucky, Bo, Mo, Sean, Islan, Trayvon risen 3 days after their entombing. Their ghosts regifted flesh and blood. Their flesh and blood regifted their children. I have left Earth. I am equal parts sick of your go back to Africa's as I am your I just don't see races. Neither did the poplar tree. We did not build your boats, though we did leave a trail of kin to guide us home. We did not build your prisons, though we did, and we filled them too. We did not ask to be part of your America, though are we not America? Her bones brittle and dragging a ripped gown through Oakland. I will not stand your ground. I am sick of calling this recklessness the law. Each night, I count my brothers, and in the morning, when some do not survive to be counted, I count the holes they leave. Your master, magic trick, America. Now he's breathing. Now he don't. Abracadaver. White bread voodoo. Your rope burnt hands tired of the noose. Hand my cousin a pistol to do your work. I tried, white people. I tried to love y'all. But you spent my brother's funeral making plans for brunch. Talking too loud next to his bones. You took one look at the river plump with the body of boy after sweet boy and asked, why does it always have to be about race? Because you made it that way. Put an asterisk next to my sister's gorgeous face. Call her pretty for a black girl because black girls go missing without a whisper of where because there are no amber alerts for the amber skinned girls because Jordan boomed.
Hello?
Because Emmett whistled. Because Huey P. spoke it. Because Martin preached it. Because black boys have always been too Hello? Loud to live because it's taken my father's time, Cousin. My mother's time, my aunt's and my uncle's time, my sister's and my brother's time. How much time do you want for your progress. I have left Earth and I won't stop until I find a place where my kin can be safe, until black people ain't but people the same color as the good wet earth, until that means something. Until then, I bid you well, I bid you war, I bid you our lives to gamble with no more. I have left Earth and I am touching everything you beg your telescopes to show you, giving the stars their right names in this New Testament, this new story you cannot see or touch or ruin this, if only this one is ours.
Hello, my name is Nawanda Chambers, co-host of the Black Reality Think Tank, and I am coming to you with a public service announcement about the COVID-19 blues. Has COVID-19 got you down? Are you unsure of what to do to protect yourself? Stressed out because you do not know how to manage the new challenges that COVID-19 has created? Are you experiencing symptoms? Are you afraid? Do you need help with something else? If you answer yes to any of these questions, contact the crisis line at 1-800-985-5990 or text Talk With Us to 66746. Remember, there is help, and let's stay safe.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Hotep and greetings, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Black Reality Think Tank. I am your host, Dr. William Rogers. We are so pleased to have you join us here this afternoon, this evening. We are here on a little different of a time frame. This is the normally the weekend edition of the Black Reality Think Tank, but they're going to be broadcasting today, obviously. And then on Saturday, we are going to have our regular Tuesday program due to the fact that our guest is in a very, very different time zone, and that would have caused him to have to come on about 3 o'clock in the morning. So we wanted to be accommodating to our guests. So on Saturday, the Tuesday program, but we'll be back to the norm on next week. And I thank so much our co-host, Ms. LaWanda Williams and Ms. Leola. Ms. LaWanda Chambers and Ms. Leola Williams for agreeing to this change. We thank you so much. We are part of the timeforanawakening.com radio platform, which is a part of the Black Talk Radio Network, the number one talk radio network in the nation, in the world, because it was rated recently as the number one talk platform for issues around African-American people. So we thank you so much for giving us that support, because that would not have been possible if it had not been for you. There are many other programs on this network. We will talk about a few of them. Maybe at the top of the hour. We have a dynamic show tonight. I don't want to prolong it. We're going to get right into it. So at this time, I am going to turn the program over to my wonderful co-host, Ms. LaWanda Chambers and Ms. Leola Williams. Good afternoon, my ladies.
Good afternoon, Dr. Rogers.
Good afternoon, Dr. Rogers. Thank and you. Audience.
So, I'm so happy that you all have joined us for this very much needed discussion. And I just want to introduce myself again. It's Ms. LaWanda Chambers. I am your co-host this evening on the Black Reality Think Tank, and we will be discussing white privilege and white fragility. Before we begin this discussion, I think that it is important to define what white privilege and white fragility means. White privilege means the inherent advantages possessed by a white person on the basis of their race in a society characterized by racial inequality and injustice, while white fragility means discomfort and defensiveness on the part of a white person when confronted by information about racial inequality and injustice. I say if we are looking to make America great again, we must rid the poison that continues to divide us from well and the unwell. We must also ask ourselves, each and every one of us, if we are racist. These learned behaviors, generation after generation, has led white people to believe that they are not racist because they work with black people and have black friends that they know, and so they are not a racist. Even back in the day, and today, some white people were friendly with black people because they knew they already had the upper hand. White children playing with the property and growing old together until one day power shifts and they become the slave owner. If this was your friend and you grew up together, wouldn't you think that the new slave master would take on new traditions and change some rules? One might think, but this was not the case. I bring that up to say white people are no different today in that regard. And if you call yourself a friend, I expect you to stand up for what is right, even if it puts you at a disadvantage. White privilege says, I am better than you. White fragility says, I don't want to talk about this because it doesn't exist. Or we have provided equity through desegregation instead of equality. But we are going to call it that because something is better than nothing. Now, let's take it a step further. You know, let's really get into this now. Now, let's take it a step further. COVID-19 wreaked havoc on all of us. And it put us all on the same playing field of having to adjust. Being unemployed, no child care, not paying rent, mortgage, or other bills. Some facing the challenges of living in poverty. Not being able to go anywhere. Not being able to buy what we want. Damn. Doesn't the pandemic sound a lot like what blacks and other people of color have been experiencing in this capitalistic market for so long? Perspectives change quickly. They changing fast. When you do not have much of a choice in the matter, and everything is slowed down just enough for everyone to pay attention. Because people were dying and are still dying by numbers. By huge numbers. Is being racist really making America great again? Has turning the other cheek helped you to sleep better at night? I wonder what time period of America number 45 was referencing. Is it when Columbus lied and said he discovered the land that we were already on? The Civil Rights Movement? The Great Depression? No, it was the transatlantic slave trade. Or no, maybe it was when we were in Africa and they pushed Christianity on us. Because I know you are not thinking or talking about anybody that looks like me. When this is applied to everyday life, it shows up as never having to speak for your entire race in the classroom or the workplace. Having good relationships with the police. Think of Amadou Diallo, Terrence Crutcher, Philando Castile, Samuel Du Bois, Freddie Gray, Walter Scott, Akai Gurley, Laquan McDonald, Corin Gaines, Atatiana Jefferson, Pamela Turner, Chantel Davis, and young black children such as Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin, Dejeria Becton. Most recently, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, Javier Ambler, and Wayne Jones, and many others who have not been reported. Let's not face this issue with ignorance and focus on the life any one of these people have led, because we exonerate them and understand systems play a huge role in these people's lives. To think the idea of white privilege, which some of you would like to think doesn't exist, it's a real thing and contributes daily to the systemic crucification of black people everywhere. This is the classic, throw the rock and hide the hand. I would say that this is your white fragility, kicking in and taking the wheel. This is white people tapping into their survival instincts that keeps this perpetuating cycle going. I will say to each and every one of my white colleagues that you are racist because of your socialization, because you are taught that racism doesn't exist. So when you see it, you say nothing. I would say you should join me and fight for whatever you see as an injustice to me, because you call yourself a friend. I would say that when this happens, the guards can be let down. If and only when systemic changes happen. If you are wondering how that happens, start writing those letters to the ones that have the power, and so will we. It's time to get into this discussion.
And with that being said, we would say it's time for an awakening. But before we get to that, we always have our profile reading. So I will let Ms. Kaysla do that before I get into my commentary.
Barbara Charlene Jordan was an American lawyer, educator, and politician who was a leader of the civil rights movement, a Democrat. She was the first African-American elected to the Texas Senate after Reconstruction and the first Southern African-American woman elected to the United States House of Representatives. She was best known for her eloquent opening statement at the House Judiciary Committee hearings during the impeachment process against Richard Nixon, and as the first African-American as well as the first woman to deliver a keynote address at the 1976 Democratic National Convention. She received the Presidential Medal of Freedom, among numerous other honors. She was a member of the Peabody Awards Board of the Jurors from 1978 to 1980. She was the first African-American woman to be buried in a Texas state cemetery. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kaysla. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Kaysla.
So, my name is Leola Williams. I am the owner of an outpatient mental health and substance abuse clinic. As a counselor, we deal with many people of all ethnic backgrounds, all races. So for me, the introduction that Ms. LaWanda gave was very profound, and I hope everybody was paying attention, because what I want to do is ask these questions. Looking at white privilege, white fragility? Does that sound like you have a foot on your neck? How do you describe your oppression? Does it equate to the pressures that we feel as black people on a daily basis? Does white privilege mean that you can kill the innocent and apologize and we should accept and forgive your transgressions? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired, black people, of hearing the same old story? I don't know. I didn't know that I was a racist, but I have a few black friends. If you have to announce that you have a few black friends, maybe you need to reevaluate your friendship and ask yourself, is this truly my friend, or do I just get along with them because I maybe fear them and don't want to cause a problem? It is time to take a closer look at who we are and where we at and where we came from. It is time that we take control of our own lives and our own sense of freedom, because at this particular time, the pressure is still being put on our necks and we continue to have problem with breathing. And even when we say we can't breathe, then we're looked up on as we're lying or we're trying to get up out of something. But a white man can come at a police officer with a machete, but he walks into a prison system in handcuffs. Are we tired of being sick and tired? When do we get tired enough to make some changes? When do we get the foot off our neck and the noose from around our neck? How long do we continue on having these problems, seeing these things happen in our communities with our black boys, with our black men, with our black women? How long do we allow the injustice to keep us down? When do we take a stand and stand for what our ancestors stood for and march along and pick up the baton and carry on? It's time to change. Whether it's racism, whether it's fragility, whether it's white privilege, we have a privilege as well. We deserve to occupy this country just like everybody else, because we are and we were the ones that helped build on it while they came and reap the benefits from it. Our labor counts for something. It must count for something. We have to understand and realize the White House is our house. It is not Trump's house. It is not their house. It's our house. Our ancestors built that house. So therefore, we must take a stand and we must count for something. We must not be counted as a dead body, but we must be counted with a voice that can be heard. And we should be able to make those changes. And that's where we stand today. We either going to stand for something or we going to fall for anything. So let's hear it. We need to start accomplishing something. Don't let our ancestors fight be for nothing. Don't let a soulless president continue to wreak havoc in the house that we built. That's our house. And it's time for us to take it back.
Agree more with you. I can't agree more with you. I'm going to go out and start opening up the lines and hearing what our callers have to say. I'm going to go to our first number. It's 414-839. Hello, how are you? Would you like to chime in on a discussion? If your phone number starts with 414-839, I'm talking to you.
839-1347. That's me. It's Lucille.
Hello, Miss Bennett. How are you?
I am blessed.
Wonderful. I'm so
happy.
This
is a very complicated situation. Been here 72 years. And when I look back over the many things that have happened, probably the most tragic, if you named off people, many, many blacks can probably tell you how many times their kids have been beat up in the elevator downtown and taken to the mental health hospital and said they're crazy. And you see, the males do not want to tell. I even had a nephew who having a seizure, and a police officer thought he was trying to hit him. He was sitting in the car, and they broke the window and started choking him, and they pulled him out and pushed his head through some bars on 27th Street. There was a metal bars there. And I went to the hospital, his cauliflower ear, half his face is swollen, his arm, because they was really pushing. And he was ill. Instead of dealing with the issue, they were beating on him. There's many, many things. But then we have to talk to our young people. Why are you afraid to tell? You go out there to the mental health hospital and you go out there to see them, and so you can take them home. Okay, there's things here that you can fight with, that you can actually have organizations that's willing to listen. And it's police brutality. And it's like, because I fought to help get cameras on police cars back, and I did so many things, and none of it seemed to help, because the heart. You have to be willing to stand up and say, yes, you did this to me. You shouldn't have to die. And everybody is out going around. So my whole thing is what I'm looking at. We're all human. We are just as human as the white, Mexicans, everybody you can name. We're all human beings. We're not animals. The law in our country needs to be that no one is above the law. We need to understand how the police officers don't have to report when they've done something to someone, and then when they get through and they come back with it, well, it just happened, that happened, and it was the bad thing, and something, the officer may have a bad rap record that they have to sign to release to let you be able to see it. We need this discussion to go to the people that's out there and facing this and find out what it is, because we can talk and talk and talk. And notice that white privilege is there. Know that visibility is there. All this exists. But when our voices are going to be heard, and we need to be able to know what the law is and request that it be changed. And the system and the steps, like an elderly problem, you have many steps to get it done. You still going to have an X, maybe an XY, 2X, and nothing. It simplify it. But it's going to be a lot of variables in there. And we need to know what those variables are, because the laws have to change. But we cannot change the law by saying it's wrong. We need it to go all the way up to Congress. So that means we need to know who our senators are, the people that we put in office to represent us. There's people in all these categories that represent us whose voice can get it there. And we don't have to fight. And if they don't do the job, then we should not be electing people who are not ready to do the job. I know when I was working community a few years ago, when after all the county execs became black, they made it a part-time job. We let it slide. That job is a big job in our community to keep it going. The streets have gone bad. And I'm just taking it off. I mean, I don't mean to take it off what you're saying, but it stands to say, because they get in the office and the same thing starts to happen. So we need to say, this is what we want, not what you want, what we want, because they usually tell us what they're going to do for us, and it never happens. Okay, I'm done.
Thank you so much for that, Ms. Bennett. And I would never shut you up, because everything you're saying right now is very true. And it definitely has a lot to do with this discussion, because it is the broad idea of white privilege and white fragility as to why this continues to happen. So you're right on the money with that. Right on the money. I'm going to go to caller 919. Hello. Hello, 919-768. How are you doing today?
Good evening, and hotep to everyone on the show. I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
Good evening, Brother White.
Good evening. How you doing, Brother Rogers?
Good.
White privilege and white fragility is only symptoms of white psychopathic behavior. You know, to solve a problem, you have to identify a problem. So if you look at white people scientifically and go back as far back in their history as you can and look at the things that they've done over and over and over again before they even knew black people existed, what they did to each other, what they did to their family members, and everybody that they came into contact, what they've done to them. with no compunction and never lost a night's sleep with the things that they've done. And when you, once you gather that information, now you know what you're dealing with, and you stop saying we're all human beings, we're all God's children, because this is some type of mutation. Clearly, who could have done what they have done just in this country? Who could have, who does, what, where can you find that anywhere else? Where can you find that in any other people anywhere else in the history of the world? Just their behavior. And so now that you know what they are, then you know there's no need for you to be having no conference and no training and no hoping that they obey the law or making laws. All of that is useless. None of that means anything to them.
Pretty much.
White people don't believe in God. If they believed in the Ten Commandments, they could have never done what they did to us. And this was done for hundreds of years, so it couldn't have been a few of them doing this. It had to be the majority. And it didn't bother anybody. A few people pretended like they cared, but it didn't change anything. And after so-called slavery ended, it didn't change anything with Jim Crow and convict lease system and all the rest of the type of things that they did, continuing with that same behavior, lynchings, right up to today. It's just transformed itself to do anything in this country. To do anything in this country, you have to have a license to drive a car, to own a radio station, to run a restaurant, to be a plumber, to be an electrician, to be anything. You have to have a license, and you have to get that license from white people. And they can give it to you if they want to, and if they give it to you, they can take it away from you if they want to. So all black people have a reason why they can't get their license. You didn't pay a traffic ticket in 1960.
You know, that's the point.
They control how well you do in life.
I'm wondering if they need a license to build the White House that they live in now. Think they needed some back then?
They can do whatever they want to do, but the license is to control you.
Correct.
The license is to control what you can do. So everything has to have a license. So if you don't have a license, you can't do it. They can do whatever they want to. They will give themselves a license regardless to what their history is, but they won't give it to you. So that means they control your ability to make a living. So at the same time, a Korean or Arab can get a license to run a business in your community, you can't because of some obscure violation or something that you did 10 years ago.
I understand that, but I guess my question to you would be, that's the what? What's the why? Why? Why did this go on for so long? Why?
Because of their psychopathic behavior, because what we call white supremacy is really white inferiority. And that white inferiority manifests itself in a psychopathic, aggressive, militaristic manner so that they can keep control. If you know that you're inferior to somebody and you want to accomplish something, you have to do something to them to keep them from performing the way they need to perform.
And that's true, because even when they prepare those tests, they do not prepare the test so you can pass it. It is based on what they themselves experience, not so much as each individual separately. So you're true that they design certain things to keep you in a certain bracket and to keep control over you. So everything that they do, it does affect their limitation of who they want to provide certain services. That's true.
Totally, totally agree with you. But I need us to kind of look at this for not just right now, but in the future as well. Because what we see happening, right, is a shift in population, right? White folks will not be the majority for long. All right? That's a fact. So whatever they've been doing forever, that's all finna come to a halt. And so it's for us to pay attention to that and understand how we're going to proceed and move forward. Can we all agree on that?
Sure.
Totally. That's what they're so afraid of.
Bingo.
The fear is that there's a lot of their kids that look brown. They have brown children now. So there are more there are more mixed races. So as they out marching at this moment, they're marching because their kids is one of us. So they have to be protective of their children because there's no longer the majority of white race. You have African American children.
Go ahead, Leo.
Born by white people. So now that's why they're fighting, because all the George Floyd, the Tamir Rice could be one of their children. That's what they're looking at now, because it's hitting too close to home. They know they're out of order. They know that many of the officers that are on the police force get those jobs so they can use their power to kill someone that they of color. So I call it illegal lynching by way of gun. See, that's what they do. They look for reasons and excuses to do what they do.
Exactly.
And we need to keep that in mind.
Very true, very true. I'm going to take another caller. 920541. Hello, how are you doing? Would you like to chime in on a discussion?
Sure do.
All right, go ahead.
Am I live?
Yeah, you're live. What is your experience on this topic?
Well, we just, we got to be politically correct as far as I'm concerned. I've seen a lot. I've been through a lot. So I think this goes back many, many years. This ain't just come up last night. You know what I'm saying? They've been doing this a while. So people got to be, we got to be conscious of ourselves and, we got to be respectable and responsible. And we all got to be held accountable, whether it's one way or another. But I do agree with the couple people that went before me. I was listening earlier saying that, their time is almost up. You could only be at the top so long. So, it's once you go all the way up, ain't no way but to go down. It's just the opposite way. Once you're all the way down, ain't no way to go back up. But my take is just, people got to start working together. You know what I mean? So, people got to stop being slick and naive and disrespectful and inappropriate. We got to keep this. Everybody's watching. So people got to, just move at a. I ain't gonna be too long like everybody else, but people got to just be smooth and get along. I mean, it ain't too much you can do right now. We ain't talking about what happened 1,000 years ago, slavery, but that does have some type of mentality of how somebody's going to think or how somebody's going to act or react. So, so you got to take all that into accountability as far as that. So that's basically what I got to say about it, So that, I'm pretty much, that's my take on it. Just everybody be responsible, everybody look out for one another, and every day's a new day, that dude, that cop that did that in Minnesota, he has his day in court, and, and the other guys that was with him. But from now on, everybody needs to be responsible, hold everybody accountable, and, we can't look on and dwell on the past. The past is the past. I heard this from a good saying. They say, how's that go? If you knew better, you'll do better. So, maybe the person that was training him wasn't being trained right. Maybe somebody that was teaching him wasn't teaching the right way. That goes back to sayings from 1,000 years ago. You know, if you knew better, you would do better. If somebody would have taught you that, then you would have knew, okay, this is right from wrong. And they said the whole time over the news, I've been watching the news the last couple of weeks, they ain't had nobody hold this dude accountable. And he knew the dude. So this was an ongoing situation. So, you know, people got to learn how to switch it up, keep their mind sharp, eat healthy, and be positive. You know, we need more positive vibes out here. People like to just be negative a lot, 1,000% of the time. So, you know, people got to be uplifting, and if you need to, read the Bible, because sometimes that's what people need to do. I mean, you know, I'm not saying I go to church every week, every Sunday, but I'm saying that some people need it more than others.
Mm-hmm.
And that dude sounded like he needed it more than me and 10 men put together or 10 women put together. So you know, so I'm going to just leave it at that, man. You know, so I'm happy to, you know, get on this podcast and say my little 2 cents or whatever. So, and I am one of the chambers. Give me a shout out, Wanda.
I'm not giving you a shout out for that nonsense. Let me tell y'all something. You know, I am all about the peace and things like that, but we got to stick to this Sankofa. We always got to look back. You know, that's the problem in America. We don't have history. We don't have our language. You know, we're traumatized, brother. And it's okay. I hear you, but I still love you too, cousin. But I can't agree with you on that. Simply because we have to look back. Just like the brother said earlier, it's a lot of things that's been going on. And to your point, cousin, I agree with you. We do have to change, because if we continue to keep this cycle going, as I stated earlier in the commentary, this is going to keep happening. I mean, we know we keep pointing the finger saying, you done something wrong to me. I done something. What I'm asking for right now is accountability. Teach these kids the truth, right? Folks need to know the truth, because that gives you the sense that you got something up on me. Why is it that when you go on YouTube, you see all these white folks knowing your history and telling you stuff that you didn't even learn in school, and you be looking like they must be telling the truth, you know, because they're a white person. And so, yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to just be honest with you. It's a whole lot of stuff going on, and we done let a lot of stuff on us ourselves slip through the cracks. So I'm definitely calling attention to the white fragility and the white privilege, because we went from overt, where it was all up in your face, to this covert. Oh, who, me? Yes, you. Couldn't be. Then who? No. We got to call it spade a spade. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about calling a spade a spade. And for those who have white friends and colleagues, when these microaggressions are being used, you need to address them. And you need to let them know in a nice, professional way as possible. Or you can let them know in your I don't give a damn voice. Long as you let them know. All right. Because the first thing you got to do with white people when they do stuff like that is identify it. You have to let them know that's not acceptable with me. I teach you how to treat me. All right.
Okay, that's all good. See, LaWanda get fired up when you start talking about this white fragility stuff. So we're going to move on to the next caller. how about Phoenix? Calling from Phoenix.
Yes. Good evening, brothers and sisters.
Brother Marcus, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Dr. Rogers. You know, you guys have more hope in the white man than I got, I tell you the truth. Because I've been looking at this guy under a microscope. He can't change. He cannot change. You know, I heard Amos Wilson say something. He says these white folks are genetically disposed to violence, and they need to be locked up and caged and given an occasional shot of Demerol and Thyrazine. They cannot change. I'm telling you, they're not going to change. And all this you see, they're kneeling with us and all of that, that's just to neutralize us psychologically. That's all that is. I seen that policeman did that in New York. The head policeman in New York came and did it. You know, he came and he knelt down and the black people, oh, yeah. And he just neutralized us right there. Took the fire out right there. You see? And when by the time they turned around looking for him, he's gone. Neutralized the thing and left. These people ain't going to change. And I tell you, even what you see here, the dynamics taking place, all white folk, I remember, you know, in order for these people to run the show, they recruit from the same group of people that they're oppressing. So mm-hmm. all they're going to do, yes, their numbers are going to dwindle. All they're going to do is open up some more and let in some more people in. So, you know, everybody knocking the door, let me in. So they just open the door, let a few more in, and close it off again. And he's still on top. You see what I'm saying? So if we ain't talking about knocking him from the top, you know, getting some of that wealth, you know, then he's still going to have the economic system in control. You see? So people ain't going to change. There's no redeeming for them. I'm telling you. What they're doing there now, doing out there, kneeling and marching with us, is just a show. Just to neutralize black people. Now they're moving in the LGBTQ to co-opt the whole thing now. That's what they're moving now with the Black Lives Matter movement, to shift the whole thing away, you know? These people are clever now. They ain't power 500 years being stupid. So we got to watch them and see what they do. But we got to make our move, though. Our solution ain't here with these people. We spend too much time trying to get along with them. Our issue is getting along with each other. And we got 12 million square miles of land here in the motherland. We ain't going to correct the problem here. This is the nut house. You know, we the nut house. You got to escape out of the nut house. I burn the nut house down. That's it.
Whoa,
that's all
whoa.
I got to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Oh, we almost coming up to the top of the hour, but before we get there, let me get one more call in from Phoenix. While we're in
Let's stay in Phoenix.
Phoenix, you're on the line.
I think you just did, Phoenix.
We got another Phoenix. 202-752, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? This is Howard.
Wonderful. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, you know, I got a few things. You know, I think a lot of our issues is, you know, the problem with inclusion, right? We want to be included into everything.
Yes.
All the time. You know, LGBT fights, you know, women's rights, all these things. And we're losing focus on the fact that when the moment we're born, I had a conversation with a friend yesterday, and he was a white guy that I was talking to for a while, and ever since this thing happened, you know, I've kind of been calling him out on his racist remarks, you know, because I feel it's important that somebody says something every time, right? We don't allow those jokes to fly. We don't allow those gestures to go unknown, right? Because a lot of their hatred is unconscious, I believe. You know, I think a lot of them don't realize how racist they are, you know, and what kind of belief system they were brought up on. And as I was speaking to the man, I asked him a question. I said, when's the first time you had a conversation about race? And he said, well, we didn't really talk about it. My parents ain't racist or anything, you know, so I never seen the reason to speak about it. So I asked him, I said, the first time I had it, it was 5, right? Because we seen somebody getting picked up on the store and they told us, you know, you need to watch yourself. You know, as a black young kid, even though I'm bright, I'm still black, you know? And I had to have that conversation early. I had to have that conversation early because I needed it later when I was 11 and 12, when I was 16. You know, in different parts of my life, I needed that conversation, you know, and I was trying to explain to them, like, that's part of your white privilege, right? Not having that be an issue ever. When you walk into a store, you don't have to worry about them just watching you. You know, you've never just walked into Macy's and you literally have security guards bending down, staring at you. I said, that's your white privilege, right? Because you can go in there and not have to even worry about that. Not that we're doing anything wrong, but how unwelcoming is that? You know, that's how we feel on a daily basis, right? When we walk past you guys and everybody stares at us until, you know, they damn near turn around. You know, that's your white privilege, right? It's that fear. It's that if I walk past because I'm legally armed, and if I walk past you with a gun, everybody is staring at me. You know, but I also work into a store and I see white people come in with guns and it's normal every day. They feel protected. They don't feel a threat. True. That's white privilege. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand that it's all around us, and it's important not only that we start to segregate a little bit, you know, condensing our funds and working with each other, you know, finding that black business when you need something to eat, you know, just those little things, tipping them afterwards, you know, those things to uplift each other. I see that's the only way we can beat white supremacy. It isn't about inclusion anymore because they're going to feel the way they feel. You know, only white people can stop racism, right? Because that's their feeling. So what we have to do is show them that we're powerful in our own right, right? We're worthy in our own right. We can't keep excusing crime and violence, right? But we also understand where it stems from.
Bingo.
We live in societies where we gotta fight when we go to the park. You know, we have to worry about those things. We can't live in cheap communities because that aren't ghetto because they won't rent to us. Right? They keep us in the inner city. They stop us from moving to the suburbs as much as possible. You know, by making us feel unwelcome in stores and gas stations and just the everyday living, knowing that you might get pulled over, you know, and being late to work and possibly lose your job. Mm-hmm. Like, those are real fears. It's not about violence anymore. It's not about white people walking around with KKK masks and trying to kill us, right? It's small systematic things that holding us back. And we just gotta work together. I think that's the end of it.
I agree with you, and I appreciate you contributing that because that's the truth. You're telling the truth right now. But before we can even get to that position, like the gentleman said earlier, hey, black folks, we got to get our own stuff together. We gotta clean up our own house. But they watching and they looking in and they making stuff rough where we can't even meet basic needs. So if we can't meet basic needs, we can't even clean our house. We at the top of the hour. This discussion is going very good, very good. We'll be right back after this break.
New Kung Fu Kenny. Ain't nobody praying for me. Y'all know what happens on earth stays on earth. Here we go.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck.
I'm willing to die for this shit. I done cried for this shit. Might take a life for this shit. Put the Bible down and go out for a knife for this shit. D.O.T. my enemy won't catch a vibe for this shit. Ayy. I been stumped out in front of my mama. My daddy commissary made it to commerce. Bitch, y'all my grandma's dead. So ain't nobody praying for me. I'm on your head. Ayy. 30 millions later, no defense watching. Auntie on my telegram, like, be cautious. I be hanging out at Tams, I be on Stockton. I don't do it for the gram, I do it for Compton. I'm willing to die for the shit, nigga. I take your fucking life for the shit, nigga. We ain't going back to broke, family selling dope. That's why you mini-ass rap niggas better know. If I gotta slap a pussy-ass nigga, I'ma make it look sexy. I gotta go hard on the bitch, I'ma make it look sexy. I pull up, hop out, air out, made it look sexy. They won't take me out my element, nah, take me out I'm my element. I'm allergic to a bitch nigga, ay, an imaginary rich nigga, ay. Seven figures, ho, that's slimmer than my bitch figure, ay. Going digital and physical and all y'all, ay. Bunch of criminals and money in my phone calls, ay. We okay, we let the A1 fly. Relocate, jump on the same G5. checking for me heavy, cause I go, yeah, I go, yeah. They never been ready, yeah, I know, yeah, I know, yeah. 100K spread across the floor, yeah. None of y'all fucking with the flow, yeah. Years in the making, they don't y'all mistake it. I got them by a landslide, we talking about races. You know there's never be a tie, just look at they laces. You know careers take off, just gotta be patient. Mr. 1 through 5, that's the only logic. Fake my death, go to Cuba, that's the only option. If I gotta slap a pussy ass nigga, I'ma make it look sexy. If I gotta go hard on a bitch, I'ma make it look sexy. I pull up, hop out, air out, made it look sexy. They won't take me out my element, nah, take me out my element. Damned if I do, if I don't, yeah. Goddamn it's all if you won't, yeah. Damn, 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 it's a goddamn shame. You ain't frontline, get out the goddamn way. Niggas thought they wouldn't go see me, huh? Niggas thought that K-Dot real life is the same life they see on TV, huh? Niggas wanna flex on me and be in LA for free, huh? Next time they hit the 10 freeway, we need receipt, huh? Cause most of y'all ain't real. Most of y'all go squeal. Most of y'all just envy, but jealousy get you killed. Most of y'all throw rocks and try to hide your hand. Just say his name and I promise that you'll see Candyman. Because it's all in your eyes. Most of y'all tell lies. Most of y'all don't fake. Most of y'all been advised. Last OP I tried to lift a black artist. But it's a difference between black artists and whack artists.
Snap a pussy ass nigga, I'ma make it look sexy.
It's the one and only the world's greatest, the kid.
I gotta go hard on the bitch, I'ma make it look sexy. I pull up, hop out, air out, made it look sexy. They won't take me out my element, nah, take me out my element.
How do you explain it?
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Greetings, my brothers and sisters. We are at the top of the hour. It's a very dynamic conversation. Thank you so much for all of you and your input and your continued patronage of the Black Reality Think Tank. We are a part of the timeforanawakening.com platform, which is a part of blacktalkradionetwork.com. And so we thank you so much, as I said, for your continuing patronage. We thank you for the opportunity to be here, to share and dialogue with our people about our people. And so we will be continuing to do this. And we thank our two wonderful co-hosts who have developed this program tonight for the work that they are doing and continuing to do. We just want to quickly mention that, again, we are on, this is the weekend edition normally, we are doing it tonight because on Saturday we will be hosting a guest who is in the UK, and that time frame is different. If we would have tried to bring him on tonight, it would have been 3 o'clock in the morning. They are in London where he is. But it's going to be a very dynamic conversation as well. He is a very gifted young African-American artist who is experiencing some issues there in the UK. He's going to talk about that in his music and his art. He plays with the London Philharmonic. He is from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and he has been trained and developed here. And so now he is going out into the world, and he will talk a little bit about what he sees and how to understand that. He comes from a great line of black preachers. His father was the pastor of a church in Durham, North Carolina, called Union Baptist. He was Dr. Grady Davis, who was a theologian and a psychologist. Powerful man. Wrote a book on the great Father Divine. Well, anyway, this is his grandson, and he was going to be talking with him on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock right here on timeforanawakening.com. And then on Thursday, we have a group of young millenniums that are going to come on. I have to apologize. We are running into some time conflicts, so we're going to have to reschedule their time, possibly. Hopefully, they'll still be able to come on Thursday. If not, then we'll have to waive that. There is a program that airs on Thursday on the Black Thing, on Time for an Awakening from 8 to 10. And so it's going to conflict a little bit with what they wanted to do. So we're going to get that together very shortly. We're working on, as we said, we have four families that are part of the Black Reality Think Tank family. We have four individuals. We're proud of that. On Saturday at 6 p.m., we have a dynamic program And that program is Dealing with the Elders. It is sponsored and produced by the Sankofa Elders Council of Milwaukee. And the host is Brother Alfonso Watkins. And he was on last week for the first time. Developmental psychology, looking at the whole idea of what we must do as African people to heal our mind. As one of our great historians and writers, Dr. Bruce Bridges, once said in a book he wrote, we must recapture the African mind. And so that is what this program does. It embraces the whole developmental psychology of that. And then, obviously, as you know, our Tuesday program. So we have four programs in our family, the Black Reality Think Tank family. We're so appreciative of that and proud of that. And, again, thank you all. On Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, on the Time for an Awakening Network, we have a program called African Perspectives. That program is hosted by Motherland Media, and that's Brother Oshiemi Adelabu. We encourage you to listen to that for a powerful dialogue guest that he has that comes forward. And then on Friday, we have Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard coming out of Philadelphia. That program airs from 8 to 10 Eastern Time, 8 to 10 Eastern Time. Brother Oshie's program Monday, Wednesday, and Friday is also Eastern Time, 11 to 1. But Time for an Awakening on Friday is from 8 to 10 Eastern Time. And on Sunday, from 7 to 10 Eastern Time, Time for an Awakening comes again. Very dynamic conversation, very interesting guest. He's had people like the great economist, African-American economist, William Darity, out of Duke University in Durham, North Carolina, came on to talk about the reality of reparations and some of those kinds of discussions. And so it's just a powerful network. Go to our website, www.timeforanawakening.com. And all of our programs are archived there, and all of the other programs are archived there. You can simply go there and listen to them 24/7. www.timeforanawakening.com. And that's 24/7. We are call-in format. Our number here is area code 215-490-9832. And so to all of you who are on the internet listening, if you'd like to call us and give your comment or ask questions to this wonderful discussion being led by Ms. Leola Williams and Ms. LaWanda Chambers, please, by all means, do so, and we'll see that. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Ms. Williams and Ms. Chambers so they can move forward with this powerful, powerful conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Rogers. And before we go move any further, I want to just make a public service announcement. If anyone has any information about the accident that killed Tarisha Lewis on June 1st at 20th and Hopkins, please email forward, FORWARD, at lift-ife.com.
You might want to repeat that one more time. You might want to repeat that one more time, Ms. Chambers.
No problem. If anyone has any information about the accident that killed Tarisha Lewis on June 1st at 20th and Hopkins, that's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, please email me at forward, FORWARD, at lift-ife.com. Any information. Thank you for that. And so we're gonna just jump right back into the discussion. I'm gonna go to the caller with 919-641. Hello, how are you?
Hotep, my sister.
Hi. Hotep, Dr. Bridges. Dr. Bridges, how are you?
I'm okay. What about you, Dr. Rogers?
Great.
All right, I didn't know if she could hear me or not.
We hear you.
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. That's good. Yeah. I've been just kind of listening tonight and getting quite a bit out of the program. And heard Brother Elliot and Brother Richard Sunday night, Bill. I don't know if you heard him or not.
Yes, I did.
Okay. You heard Brother McCosta then. Okay.
Right.
Okay. But I'm enjoying the program tonight. And one thing I always like to put forward to people, and when I say people, I mean our people, Black people, and that is, something very basic that we must do. And I see that missing in what some of the brothers and sisters are doing in the streets, though they're doing a good job, not taking one thing from them. No way in the world I could do that. But one thing that we have to do is we have to, as you said, Bill, earlier, we have to get our minds back. We have to get our thinking straight. Our thinking has to be placed in order, and we have to learn who we are as a people, and that's very basic. I think somebody said one time that the most important thing that a person can know is himself or herself. And once we begin to do that, then it seems like everything else will fall in place once we begin to do that. But we have to keep fighting in the system. And I always like to quote Brother Frederick Douglass, and he says that you have to always agitate. And when I used to talk to my students, I would say that the agitation does not always come when you're talking to the powers that be or the forces that speaking truth to power. But even as presenters or as teachers or people on the radio, we have to always agitate. We have to question, we have to critically analyze and look at things as opposed to just making decisions without doing that. And I just hear a lot of things when I hear some of the people, when I hear Al Sharpton, and when I hear some of Brother George Floyd's family and various other people who were talking about the incident in Savannah, Georgia, and the incident, of course, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And it's very clear to me when I hear them, though they're doing an excellent job, they're out there, they're doing things. But if we could get, and I really thought about it when I heard the African-American football players talking, and when they were going against what Morris Dree said, Dree said, and that is, we as people, we have to know our power. When Colin Kaepernick took a knee and did not stand for the Star Spangled Banner or for the My Country Tis of Thee or whatever the case may have been, if we analyze what is being said to us, then none of us should ever stand for the Star Spangled Banner, should ever stand for the red, white, and blue. None of us should ever stand for My Country Tis of Thee. None of us should ever salute the American flag. And I hear people all the time talking about our country and we this and our government, and especially the politicians. I know some people may say, well, they have to say it because they're politicians, but there's a way to even get around it to without saying that, because we have to realize that we, as Malcolm said, we're not really a part of this system. How can you go into a restaurant and sit down at the counter and say you're a diner, but you have no food on your plate, but you call yourself a diner? So we as people in this country, we call ourselves Americans. We want to say the American way and the American this and our country and our flag. Our what? How can it be our? We have to know where we fit. As Bob Marley said in one of his songs, he said, we have to understand where we are and where we stand in the struggle, you see. And our place and our position in the struggle is not always the same position. Most times it's not the same position in the struggle as the white boy's position or the white woman's position in the struggle. We have our own position in this whole situation. When people talk about black people looting and robbing here and robbing there, we were robbed of our native countries in Africa, robbed of our names, robbed of our religion, robbed of our culture, robbed of our very being. So when somebody talk to us about robbing, let's get this straight now. Who robbing who? You see, but oftentimes we don't think about that, and we let somebody as Stokely Carmichael used to say to us many years ago when he would be teaching classes, he would say, capitalism is designed to deceive the masses of the people. And in this, in that deception, they make us say things like, oh, he shouldn't have done this, or he shouldn't have done that. We are in a situation, and Lerone Bennett talks about it in his book. He says there's a difference between taking and stealing. You take something from your slave, from the slave master, but you don't steal from your brother or your sister. There's a difference. But we seem to equate everything in the Ten Commandments that the white folks say, thou should not this, thou should not that, thou should not this, thou should not that. We seem to look at that as if it's all talking about us and what we should do. But those regulations and rules and Ten Commandments and policies and procedures in this country, all these were written to keep us in control. To keep us in control and not and make us not want to question and to think for ourselves. So one thing that we have to do, and that is, I think, as a people, and is to begin to question and analyze our situation and to see where we are. And the only way that these concessions are being made, and in Minneapolis, as you all know, that begin to talking about restructuring the police department and not giving as much money towards the police budget in certain cities in America. And the only reason that they're doing that is because of what is happening in the streets. And if that were not happening, in the streets, brothers and sisters, then we wouldn't be getting these concessions. And you see, what happened is, as you all have said tonight, and as we have seen, it's happening, as Brother McCosta said Sunday night, it's happening all over the world. George Floyd and that situation in Minneapolis, Minnesota, has gone to every major city in the United States, but it's also gone into Rome, Italy, into Paris, France, and London. Even in London, black folk in London last night or night before last, I may be a little off on the time, but within the last few days, have torn down the statue of a slave trader whose statue was in Bristol, which is a community in England. His statue was torn down by black people, and his statue was torn down because of the fact that they realized that he was a slave trader involved in trading slaves from Africa, taking those Africans to the Caribbean, and then trading those enslaved Africans in the Caribbean for sugar, and then taking the sugar back to England. And he made a lot of money doing that and built up the city of Bristol, England, along with Liverpool and along with London. Those were the three major slave ports in England, Bristol, London, and Liverpool. But this particular slave trader in Bristol's statue was torn down a couple of nights ago. So, and all this is coming from the fact that people are beginning to wake up all around the world. They're beginning to see what's going on. Even the Aborigines in Australia are rising up against the powers that be. People in New Caledonia are rising up, a French island in the Pacific. They're rising up. So people are rising up all over the world. And when we look at world history, we will find that most of the time when people in the world begin to rise up, whether they're even white people with the LGBT people, whether or not it's the Black Lives Move, Black folks, Black Lives Matter movement, or whatever the case may be, the source or the beginning of it is this slave in America. When the African in America begins to rise up and to establish himself in his position and says that we're not going to take anymore, then everybody around the world begins to rise up. As an example, Maurice Bishop rose up in Grenada many years ago in the early 1980s and took over the government in Grenada after going to school in London and studying what Huey Newton and the Black Panther Party was doing in Los Angeles, California. He learned it in London and went back to Grenada in the island and organized the people and started the New Jewel Movement and became the Prime Minister of Grenada. Thomas Sankara of Burkina Faso in West Africa went to a military school down in Madagascar off the coast of Africa, East Africa, and saw students there rising up. And then he went on to visit Fidel Castro, and he visited Daniel Ortega in Nicaragua. And then he went back to Burkina Faso and started to implement some things that he had learned. So the whole world, as Elijah Muhammad says, is looking at the black man and black woman of America. And when the black man and black woman of America gets himself and herself together and begins to stand up, then everybody will begin to respond. But there's been no other people on the face of the earth who has gone through what we have gone through as a people in the hells of North America, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, this whole country. Nobody. So when we begin to rise up, the Palestinians stand up over on the West Bank in Israel. When we begin to stand up, the Ba'ath Party was formed by Saddam Hussein and Tariq Aziz during the time of the British occupation of Iraq. They began to rise up and organize. You see,
I appreciate
not trying to just talk too much on the program, but I was asked to make some comments. And so I just wanted to make that clear. And even when we look at Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh, and we know it was a Vietnamese on that police force that stood idly by and allowed that white boy to do what he did to George out in the street. One of them was a Vietnamese, but he's a miseducated Vietnamese. He's happy to be in America, because had he known who he was or who he is, he would say that this man's a man of color, just like I am. But
and you know what? Thinking about that, that's what he has learned about America, right? That's the image that America paints, and that's why he would think he could do some stuff like that, brother.
He was trained to do that.
He was trained to do that. And you know, since you mentioned training too, you know, it reminds me of Carver G. Woodson in his book, The Miseducation of the Negro. He said there's a difference between being trained and being educated. He said you can train a seal to balance a ball on his nose and then train him to balance his body on another ball at the same time. You can train a parrot to say Polly want a cracker, and the cracker and the parrot will say Polly want a cracker. But that's as far as he can go. A train is an automated piece of equipment. You know its origins and you know its destination. It follows the same pattern around the track day in and day out. You look at Amtrak. It goes from New York all the way down to Florida, back to New York, down to Florida, through North Carolina, South Carolina. Same train. But when you're educated, you begin to think outside of the box and to analyze and think for yourself. And you begin to understand that even though we love our mothers, for example, and we love our fathers, but who has to tell us Mother's Day and Father's Day? They do it because it's a part of capitalism, and they play on the sentimentality.
The dollar. That's what they play on. And so what we gonna look at right now is just saying it's time to do something different. Because now we know the game, right? We all know the game. And so we've been playing the game for so long, and now it's time to make some sacrifices and get down to it.
And just to come off of that, LaWanda, we have power. We have power. And when you speak about those that have been trained to do a certain job, so they had to have education as well in order to even be on the force. So there are some educated, some people for me, from my perspective, being of age and raised in Mississippi, watching my daddy work on the chain gang, being in his black and white suit, just like they had on Life with Eddie Murphy and them. See, I lived that life. See, excuses run out. Grown folks know what grown folks do. But grown folks like to make excuse for their actions. They know what the hell they do, but then they want to apologize and make an excuse as why they did it. So how long do we, as people of color, continue to excuse their behavior and they dummy down like they don't know? See, that all of those are excuses. No, we need to be smarter than that. We need to do something different. We need to take a different point of view on this. We got power to change whatever we need to change. People just need to not be afraid. White folks are more afraid of us than we are of them. because we are educated, we are intelligent, we are spiritual beings. We know, you know, so much of this stuff just get washed under the rug because we overlook them and accept their excuses, accept their apology. I'm gonna kill your son, but I didn't know. No, all of that got to stop. They do know. They know what they do. They know the culture that they came from. They know because they were taught it.
And they know what they'll do if you've done something to their son.
Correct. So pain is pain. It's okay for us to invoke, for them to invoke pain on us. But as soon as we invoke pain on them, oh, it's a big problem. No, we got to stop. Like the one caller said, we don't have to be included in every damn thing they do. Some of the things they do, we shouldn't want to be included in the first place. We need to stop shopping at their stores and complain later. No, just don't shop, period. And you don't have to complain at all. The one white guy told me if you hit a white man in his pockets, that cast out a lot of things because their only God is money. Their only power is money. But if we keep giving them money, we keep giving them the power. So we got to change our mindset and where we go from here, because that's what's frustrating to me. You know, black folks, they know we done been living. We've lived a long time. We've watched what has come and gone in our lives and in our communities and stuff. It's time to just quit allowing them to just sell us anything or sell us that sad story. No, we need to pick up. We need to fight for what we want. We need to fight for the changes that need to make. The black folks that we elect in office, we need to hold them accountable as well. We're tired. We should be sick and tired of being sick and tired and being tired of settling for less than what we deserve after we have helped and our ancestor have created this community. What we're going now, I mean, what we're doing now, they've done this. White folks have just reaped the benefits. A lot of white folks, I'm not going to throw all of them in the basket of deplorables, as Hillary would call them, but there's a lot of deplorable people out here. But we're going to take where we are now and learn from our ancestors. We can look back and see where we came in order to know how to pave the road to where we need to go. So that's what I want to say. We got the power. We can change things if we want to. We're going to open these phones back up because everybody's voice is going to be counted on the Black Reality Think Tank. This is what it's about, and this is where we need to go. Everybody's opinion is valuable, and we want to give everybody an opportunity to make their statements.
Okay, everybody, we got about a half an hour left. So I'm going to go through these calls, and if I just ask that you keep your comments to a minimum so we can make sure everybody else gets an opportunity to chime in. So the first call I'm going to go to is 414-324. Hello, how are you? Would you like to chime in on the discussion?
Yes. Good evening, ladies. Good evening, Dr. Roger.
Good evening. Good evening, Brother Oshie. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, sir. Oshie? I'm doing well. When you mentioned Caucasian fragility or white fragility, I remember when Dr. D'Angelo came up with that term, Caucasian lady, Dr. D'Angelo, who was doing workshops with Caucasians. And
good book.
Huh?
I said it was a good book.
Oh, okay. And at the time, it was at the time of, Trayvon Martin and other issues and other problems that we're having, and she was trying to get these Caucasians to look at what they have done that has contributed to this madness. They didn't want to hear it. That's why she came up with that term. They're fragile. Their egos are fragile. They didn't want to hear the evilness, the ugliness that they have done, the genocide. They didn't want to hear that, the taking of land and stripping people of their humanity. You know, so they came up with this. She came up with this idea that they were fragile. They can't handle the truth. They can't handle the truth from Caucasians, and they shown in hell don't want to hear it from us. They definitely don't want to hear it from us.
True.
So the other affliction, aside from European or Caucasian fragility, is cognitive dissonance.
Mm-hmm.
They suffer from cognitive dissonance. What that means is they have a core belief that they are superior. They yes. came up with this notion. This is a recent thing. This is not has been going on since the beginning of time. This idea of their superiority is about 500-600 years old. You know, in fact, you can put a couple of people into that mix of kind of giving that Europeans that idea. Carol Linnaeus, Johann Blumenbach, kind of coming up with this stratification of Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid. The more recent Caucasian too was studying skull sizes and so forth. So, I mean, you know, they've been doing this to legitimize the inferiority of Africans and, of course, their superiority. So there's nothing that we can do or say, even though there's a plethora, there's a monumental amount of evidence proving that they're not. You know, in fact, I don't call them superior white supremacy. I say European, Caucasian, extreme, because they are very extreme. European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and that's the only word I use with racism with Caucasians, because there's no such thing as race. They came up with that idea. I just mentioned Carol Linnaeus and Johann Blumenbach. He gave that stratification of classifications of race. There's no such thing as the only one race, human race, of which African people are the fathers and mothers of. And what makes human beings different is their ability to adapt to environments, which they later, when they migrated out of Africa, found themselves in. So this idea of cognitive dissonance, there's nothing we can do about that. And then there's Caucasian hegemony. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. This is the mindset of the European. This is what we're dealing with. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing we can do. You know, and I know we say, you know, we did this, we've been here, we've built this, we've done. So, and even what's going on now, some of us are having an illusion that somehow this will be the watershed moment that now will break America, and America will look at its evilness and respect our humanity and allow us to live freely in this in what they have built. Well, believe that if you want. But because history tells us, Malcolm said it best, of all our studies, history is qualified to reward our research. Look at their history. Look at their history as it relates to us. So, all right, my sisters, you have a
brother
nice
Osher, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate you, brother.
Thank
You're
you.
Very knowledgeable. Very knowledgeable.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Mm-hmm. Next caller.
This discussion is getting heated. Mr. Otis, I don't have your phone number, so you hear me calling your name out. You want to chime in on the discussion?
Oh, no, I got in late, so I'm going to have to hear it from the podcast. My computer kept messing up, so I dialed it on the phone to catch the end. I have to catch the beginning. Love
okay,
to see y'all doing the work, though. That's my thing. I love to see the young people. I take you back to James Brown when I was about your age. Get on up, get involved. Don't be sitting on your butt doing nothing. Raise your hand, take a stand.
All right.
Much love.
Thank you, Brother Griffin.
I know that's right. Thank you, Brother Griffin. Please do follow everybody. You know, if you have missed it, the beginning part of this discussion, you can always go to timeforawakening.com. All of our podcasts are archived, and so you can always listen to us at any time while you're cooking and you're cleaning and you're just sitting around relaxing. Ain't nothing like getting some real programming to deprogram what you have already been told to do. We're going to take the next caller. I have a wireless caller. I don't have your number, so maybe you call private. Would you like to chime in on the discussion? And if your phone is private, you know who you are. Okay. I don't think you want to chime in. I'm going to put you on mute. I'm going to go on down to 414-722. Would you like to chime in on the discussion?
Yeah, I can chime in. First of all, I'm so glad to be able to talk to everybody. I love this panel because it looks like it's like different age groups that we all are trying to merge together to try to figure out solutions. So I'm very glad to be here to hear what everybody got to say. The topic on white privilege, right? And I think the one thing that I think black folks got to learn, like what Malcolm X said, is don't be bamboozled. And I think white folks have bamboozled us to think that we the gangsters, we the looters, we the criminals, when they the ones that are the real criminals. They the ones that have been had by very nature, as what history has already shown. So I just think that sometimes we got to learn our history and learn history from different people. You know, it's a lot of people out here, though, we in the age of knowledge. So there's so many books out here that we can read that can help us understand the history part of that. They plan this out to make us look like we are the most evil thing here, though, and we are the nicest, compassionate. We too nice. And that's where we at, right now, is because we want to be nice and, like what y'all said before, want to be inclusive of everybody, though, instead of focusing on what we doing. And I think that this whole protest thing is a good thing for white people, though, for us to kind of understand, because I learned with white people, though, if you show them that you are respected as a black person, they're going to respect you. You know, they don't got respect for them token friends. They always want to always assimilate to them and always want to, you know, downplay your blackness to be accepted with them. They don't, and that's when they exploit you and then want to think that you're less than. So I think that black folks got to have a pride about themselves, even with white people, and don't be scared to talk about black issues to them so they can know. Because so many white folks, like what y'all said before, we all know that white folks know the oppression they have done. It don't take no comment. And I've been past convincing white people, though, of how they impacted me. I think they really don't care, but I think you do got some white people, though, that grew up with their grandparents, though, and they don't want to be like them. I mean, they might be oppressive like the grandparents, but I think they can see things a lot more differently. And those are the people, though, that we got to try to talk to and be like, you know what, if they're ready for that conversation, to invite it and be an educator and be like, you know what you hear on TV, what you hear with your parents is not true. This is what's going on, but we need history and be knowledgeable about that. I think my next thing is, though, is talking about, we need to talk about the economics. I really believe that white privileges know that we drive the economy, and that's the reason why all these major companies are saying Black Lives Matter all on TV and all for promotion, because they know we drive the economy. And I think that goes right into the politics, that we got to be able to look at politics differently. We got to be able to look at voting is important, but we need to know how to put some money behind it. I've been reading Dr. Clyde Anderson. I think he's one of the coldest in the game. I think he's so great at what he talks about. But the one thing he talked about is that we got to start buying politicians. We need to demand the finances on them so they can do what we ask them to do, instead of always voting and thinking that, oh, if we tell them our pain, we're going to do what it says, you know, because we got the black sellouts too that's willing to sell us out at any given cost. So I think this is a good period, though, for black people to understand that we are resilient people, and we going to stay here, but we got to be able to do things differently, like what everybody is preaching about. But I think that we got to look at it. We do got to look at it differently, but we got to be able to know that ain't nobody going to help us but us. And we got to know that we are going to work together, though. We got to know that we got to be willing to be able to depend on ourselves and not think that, oh, the whitey going to save us, when we realize that we're in it by ourselves. So I think that the more we work together, the more we get into the discussion about what's going on and bring different perspectives, I think we're going to be just good to go, like what I always said, because I believe in this. And I know that I just want to tell everybody to believe in ourselves and know that we got the tools to make it out of it, but we got to know who our enemy is, and we should not have to feel bad about that either. That's knowledge. And that's true.
Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. And so I'm so glad that we really spent a lot of time tonight talking about the white privilege and things of that nature, but we really haven't got on the topic of how black folks have been contributing to this. I just want to chime in because we don't got that much time, but what do you guys feel about the way Candace Owens pretty much attacked Brother George Floyd? I don't know if you guys seen the video. It's been all over the YouTube. Roland Martin did a slight coverage on it and things of that nature. And how y'all feeling about that? And I'm going to open up all the lines. So if anybody has anything to say, you'll be able to just say it. So does anyone want to chime in on that? Hello, I can hear you. Everybody don't talk at once. Go ahead.
I guess I go. I think Candace Owens, she's a token for Donald Trump. And I think that she knows what she's saying, though, because Donald Trump is speaking behind her. Everything that she's saying, though, she's being backed by Trump. You know what I'm saying? So she know how to invoke the people, though, to get the people going to talk about it. Yes, she is what we call a coon, if you want to call her that. She's definitely that. But she knows what she's doing, though, to drive the Republicans, though, to say certain things about George Floyd, though. And, I mean, it is what it is. We got to be aware of the black tokens out here, though, that's willing to sell us out. And Candace number one on the list. That's how I feel
number
about
one.
It.
Number one enemy for the black folks. Okay, I'll take it.
Anyone else?
I'll take it.
I think I'd like to jump in. I think a lot of these police officers are also part of that scenario because they make so much money. Milwaukee, you know, that you start off at about $58,000 to your first year. Inside of that first year, if you work a full year, you'll probably make at least 65 to 70. For those reasons, they're turning their backs because it becomes job security. They don't want to lose their jobs by telling on their white counterparts, and there's so many other people that you can help that you can turn your back and so forth. And you know, so we have a big problem with that, and the numbers are not that big. You have about 13% black officers, and when you talk about your complaints are 87% of your complaints are against white male officers. But like I said, the numbers are low, but even the black officers, like I said, they want to keep their time in so that they can get that pension, and they've adopted that white supremacy attitude, economic, European way of thinking, whereas it's just about the dollar. It's not about the people.
True that. Anyone else?
Yes, I just want to say about the police department. The job of the police department is to protect rich white people and their property. That's their main job. Capitalism that exploits people know that they need somebody to protect them when people get angry and want to take back what's taken from them. So they deal with you in the neighborhoods and stuff like that, but the main job is to protect rich white people and their property. And in return for doing that, they're protected when they kill people like you and me.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Lines are open. Whoever want to chime in.
I would like to chime in.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Howard. I believe she's speaking on her experience. You know, she's not taking into account the black experience. I don't think she's lived the black experience.
Bingo.
How many of us have? And I believe that she. Her whole experience and right wing is using her experience as justification, right? That's why you see her popping up so often, right? Because they only have a few sources where they can pull from. That's why they keep pumping her up. Her, David Clark, you know, different people like that who don't really stand for us. You know, they don't really stand to our experience, if that makes more sense.
Absolutely.
I just think she's insensitive, you know, I just think she's naive to the point of how they look at her, that if she started a tantrum and started a fight in a bar, she would be the mad black woman. Like, she doesn't see herself in those shoes, you know, until it happens. And I mean, I'm not hoping that ever happens to her, but, you know, I just don't think she's experienced America how a lot of us have, and she's only speaking from hers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Her perspective and her black experience does not equate to the pain that each and every one of us have faced. I don't care you still look like a nigger to them, and I hate to use the word, but you know, it's just the truth.
Sister LaWanda, when you get a chance, I want to just add one thing to your discussion.
Dr. Also, Rogers, go right on for 30 seconds.
Okay, go right ahead.
Sure, Brother Griffin.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to get this in real quick. I'm glad Dr. Rogers is listening. I'm going to say this to you young folks because I'm old. I'll be 67. I'll say it with luck. You have a very powerful tool like this phone I'm using. Only reason I know how to use it because I became a father late at 40 years ago. So let me, at 40 years old. My son is now 27. I'll turn 67 in about 3 months. Let me say this to you. Stop speculating. If you want to know about Candace Owens, let me give you some quick facts, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
Understand about this woman. When she was in high school, she went through some problems in her high school, was discriminated against. Her parents filed a lawsuit. She made about $30,000, $40,000 off of that lawsuit. When she won that lawsuit, living up in the Northeast, and I'm giving you enough tools to go find this and verify what I'm telling you. Stop speculating about what somebody's doing. You actually have the tools to confirm what your suspicions are. What ended up happening is she went to a CPAC convention, met a guy named Charlie Kirk who runs Turning Point USA. He offered her enough money so she changed the way she thinks and became a tool for white supremacy. Now, I'm going to say this to you. Myself, personally, I believe what goes on when you see black people do that is related to an act called the 1710 Meritorious Manumission. Because of all the rebellions that were going on, not just the 300 that are documented in American history, because of those rebellions on the borders of Virginia, North Carolina, West Virginia, at that time Virginia was part of West Virginia, all the way down to South Carolina, three indentured servants, white, getting with slaves and freed blacks and killing white folks. Now, let me make this point to you. Meritorious manumission in 1710, about 20-some years after all of these events were going on and the laws didn't stop it, they came up with that act that paid people, black people, if they did something to protect or improve the life of white people. Go look it up. I actually live about a mile and a half from where the actual thing was considered. Across the York River. So I'm going to say to you again, don't waste your time speculating. Spend a few minutes researching, and you're going to make this thing work. I am a reparations advocate. I'm an abolitionist. Get your stuff straight. You're going to need to be sharp and on focus to get this done and maintain it. Much love to you.
I like that. Right. I like okay. that, Brother yeah. Griffin. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Griffin. And Brother, we endorse you, and we're fighting for the reparations, too. Dr. Rogers, what you got to say?
Yeah, I wanted to just quickly add one of the things we always like to do with the our audience on the Black Reality Think Tank is to provide those resources that will help them also read further and understand further a lot of the points that we are talking about. I just want to recall something. As you know, as we talk about the things that are going on and this whole idea of white supremacy and all of the different tentacles that it has, a lot of times there's a lot of things that are working behind the scenes that we know. And if all of you remember when Donald Trump first took office, he had brought in a guy by the name of Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon was a white supremacist. He is an educated white supremacist. He was an investment banker, Harvard graduate. But a real bigot. And he's decided to step off of the upfront platform and do some things behind the scenes as a consultant to Donald Trump. And he has wreaked havoc. And a lot of this George Floyd stuff and a lot of what gets into the media's paper is generated by him and his organization. So I want to recommend to the audience, if you go on the internet and take a look at an online journal called The Hill, it's called The Hill. There's an article in there that says Steve Bannon is winning. And it's talking about all the stuff that he's doing behind the scenes for the Trump administration and what he's doing to be assured that he is getting Trump gets elected in November. Take a look at that, and you'll really get an understanding of some of the essence of what we're talking about and what's behind a lot of that stuff. So I always like to share that with our audience. So I'll go back to you, Sister Williams.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you for that, Dr. Rogers.
The mics is open. Is there anyone else? We have about 7 minutes left. If there is anyone else that would like to make a comment, the line is open.
I would like to make a comment. Okay. Marcus.
We got to find a way to punish the flunkies. That's all I say. Find a way to punish these flunkies. You know what I'm saying? These flunkies come out and they there is no repercussion. That's why they're out there blabbering their mouth. Find a way to shut the flunkies up. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Very good for the Marcus.
I got it.
Caller?
Short and to the yes. point. I like it. Hello.
Yes. You know, white people are on their way out. We all talk on that. But my question is, when they do lose their power, who's going to be the new power in this country? Are they going to be beneficial towards black people? Because, you know, the Chinese ain't our friend. The Arabs ain't our friend. There's nobody, you know, the Koreans, all these people that come in our communities and take money out, they have no love for us. So I would think we should prepare ourselves to be in that position to take power back into our own hands so nobody else will get it and put us further back than we already have been.
The only reason that they're taking money out of our community is because we're giving it to them. It's not like they're robbing or stealing. We got to learn to use our own resources in our own community. It's, it appears to be that some of us, some of us spend money outside of our community. They make money off of the poor, the indigent, and those who are suffering from substance abuse or mental health issues or whatever. So they make their monies and then they move to Wauwatosa, to Menominee Falls and different places like that. So they support the Walmarts, the Kmarts or Targets or whatever's out there. But then we have a certain emptiness in our community, but yet they take the money out, go to the nail shop, but we have African-American nail shops as well. So we need to start patronizing with each other and keep the money in the community.
Well, that's what I meant. Tell ourselves to support each other, because if we keep doing things the same way, Einstein said about insanity, we're going to wind up with the same results. You always do what you always done. You always get what you always got. You know. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, all our efforts and everything that we're doing to improve our work, if we don't change the way we do things, we're going to be right, you know, where we are right now, you know. Because when white people have power, I read an article about 20 years ago in the Time magazine where they said the new American, it was a very light-skinned black person with a white mindset, you know. So they're no more valuable than the power that be that you have.
Exactly, exactly. And so what I want to say to everybody on the line is that today was just that this was a wonderful and powerful discussion, and I appreciate each and every one of you contributing to this discussion. And like Dr. Rogers said earlier, it's very important that we leave you all with some resources. And so I just want to call attention to any of those people that's living in Milwaukee to check out MKE Black. You can download that app if you're interested in participating with Black-owned businesses in your community. That's going to give you a guide to each and every Black business in the community of Milwaukee. Also want to shed light that this month is Home Ownership Month. And if you're interested in finding out about how to become a homeowner, you can reach out to Housing Resources Incorporated, and you can check out their website at HRI.com, or go in the Google search engine and type Housing Resources Inc. There you will find an abundance of information. They have online virtual classes to teach you about becoming a homeowner. So find out about that and lock yourself into some wealth by becoming a homeowner. And if you're interested in donating, you can do that too. If you want to contribute to any families that are in need to become homeowners, by going to HRI-Wisconsin.org/donate.
As far as the discussion goes tonight, we talked about white fragility and white privilege. If you're interested in getting that book, you can get the book White Fragility by Robert DiAngelo. You can also check out Stamped, Racism, Anti-Racism, and You by Jason Reynolds and Imbram X. Kendi. And you can also get the Black Panther Psychology by Travis Langley and Alex Simmons. I do appreciate each and every one of you again for calling in this evening on the Black Reality Think Tank. You all have been very, very knowledgeable. I hope that you come back and join us, not this Saturday, but next Saturday for the weekend edition, where we'll be talking about... trauma.
Always stopped by the police, treated like a foreign enemy. Invisible barriers, segregated areas, deep-seated anger, spoon-fed hatred. Walking time bombs up in my slums. No respect is given, so dudes, let's take a son. 400 years and we shall overcome. It's no wonder that many brothers have been overcame. Beast, animals in the streets, police, turning up major heat. Deferred wishes, hoods with no assistance. Girls become women, women become bitches. Broke men with young boy fixes. Becoming dependent on the evil system. At least 150 revolts planned. All were squelched by some black snitches. Trauma. 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 Living every day in trauma. Trauma. Trauma.
Trauma.
Trauma.
Whatever you say to me, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know.
Whatever you think you know about me,
you don't know, you don't know, you don't
know. Whatever they say in the papers,
you don't know, you don't know, you don't know.
Whatever they say is really true,
you don't know, you don't know, you don't know.
Trauma, America, home of the free. Except that didn't include me. Exceptionalism to describe this system. The truly exceptional are the ones resisting. Middle passage, millions transition. Those that arrived wish they had died swimming. To survive, Africans killed the pride within them. Now they want to ask us, where is our pride? Trauma, how can I begin to describe what it feels like to be dead alive? And every time we strive, and we still strive. Self-sufficiency for us is to them a crime. Black Wall Street, Rosewood, huh? Bill Cosby and Michael Jackson, huh? Cops buy burgers for white mass murderers. No protection for us, no one serving us. Trauma. Trauma, trauma, living every day in trauma.
Trauma,
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 trauma, yeah.
Whatever you
trauma.
Say to me,
hey.
You don't know,
hey.
You don't know,
hey.
You don't know.
Whatever you think you know about
hey.
Me,
you don't know,
hey.
You don't know,
hey.
You don't
whatever
know.
They say in the papers,
hey. You don't know,
hey.
You don't know,
hey.
You don't
and
know.
Whatever they say is really true,
hey. You don't know.
Hey.
You don't know,
trauma.
Hey,
bend on out my
hey.
Watch out.